Let us pray. Tell us what we need to hear, O God, and show us what we need to do to be disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Amen.
What brings you here this morning? I know why I'm here. I'm here to come all the way from Baltimore and Washington, D.C. to warm up your director of music. Sonia so enjoys being interim here and just living among you, and also to be back working with her former colleague, Jared Weber Johnson. And she just has felt the hospitality and love of this congregation for these months. Do be assured, I want her back. I'm really good friends with your Bishop Brian Pryor. He and I are close. We get together some other times in the year on retreat, and I'm so thankful for him for his graciousness and allowing me to be here and preach before you, and Jared for your offering the somewhat pulpit here. Offering the chance to preach before you this morning. It's a pleasure to be here, and I look forward to greeting as many of you following the service as we can. So, I want to call your attention this morning to the significance of the season and the scripture lesson. The gospel lesson, Mark 9, verses 2 through 9, in this season, year B of the lectionary, but all of the years, we have Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, transfigured before people, so that all the glory of God shines upon him. But this particular Sunday, I want to call your attention to the Old Testament lesson. Because just as Jesus encountered on the mountain a cloud, so does Moses. In Exodus 24th chapter, we read that the Lord said to Moses, "Moses, come up with me on the mountain. And there I will give you tablets of stone with the law and the commandments for the people's instruction." And I imagine Moses went, "Hot diggity dog. This is how we talk in the East." It's about time, because we need some instruction. We could use a playbook, because we're wandering around here in the desert, in the wilderness, and you want me to lead these people, but I don't know what to do. So Moses, I imagine, was excited, and he brought with him his associate rector, Joshua. But then he left. He had Aaron and Hur, and he left them with the people and says, "If you have any trouble, you can go to Aaron and Hur. We have an assistant rector. We have a deacon. We have a seminarian. We have the wardens. If there's any problem, everything's covered." Well, actually, you know what happened. You know the end of that story. When Moses finally comes back down, all heck had broken loose. That's, again, how we talk. And people are worshiping Baal and all of that. And it was a mess. But that's for another sermon. Right now, let's go with Moses. Let's go with Moses up on the mountain in all of his eagerness for him to receive from God the expected tablets with the law, the commandments. He goes on the mountain, and there it says a cloud covered the mountain. Have you ever been in a cloud? Now, I don't mean that ground fog that we get so often on the East Coast. Maybe you get it here too, that fog in the morning as the burn-up. I mean a cloud, a dense cloud. Have you ever been on a cloud in a mountain? I have, in Colorado. It was not a pleasant experience. In a cloud, especially a cloud where you can barely see a foot in front of you, and you're on a mountain, it's so easy to get vertigo in a mountain, which is up, which is down. How do you know where you are? It was scary. So Moses goes on the mountain to get the law. The first day, cloud comes, nothing. Second, and the first day, the first afternoon, nothing has happened. The first night, he's there on the mountain, nothing. The second morning, nothing. What are you thinking? I mean that literally. If you don't respond out loud, this sermon's going to be very long. What are you thinking? Shout it out.
What now?
What was I thinking? Has that ever happened? What was I thinking? You're right. And by the way, choir, you can respond too, because, yes, I heard that. What was I thinking? Second night, nothing. Third morning, nothing. What are you thinking?
I put it wrong in my calendar.
Did I have it wrong in my calendar? God, you do use our calendars sync, right? Yes, wrong in the calendar. Anybody else?
Get me out of here.
And then what did I hear back there? I got the wrong message. That's right. That happens sometimes. Maybe even the wrong location. Lord, you did say Mount Sinai, right? It's not like there are a lot of mountains around here. It doesn't. Well, third morning. Third, nothing. Second, or rather, third afternoon, nothing. Third night. The nights. The nights. It's hard on a mountain at night in a cloud. You hear things at night. You're really disoriented at night. What are you thinking?
Come on.
Come on. You meant Moses, not this sermon. When is this going to be over? When do I get to go home? Oh, yeah. And by the way, how do I get home? I'm in a cloud. And by the way, where is home? And by the way, what would happen if you did go back down camp, you found your way, with nothing? You've just been deposed, he said. Thank God he was not an Episcopal cleric. Although clearly the people in the camp were Episcopalians. That's another story. Fourth morning, nothing. Fourth afternoon, nothing. Fourth night, another night, nothing. What are you feeling?
The nights are the longest.
Say?
The nights are the longest.
The nights are the longest. Yes? I heard hunger back there. By the way, what did you pack? The Lord, you said, at least this is the way it is with men. I was instructed to go to a mountain, get some tablets of stone, go back down. I didn't pack a lot of food. What did you pack to wear? I should have brought my down jacket. A true Minnesotan. Hungry. Maybe cold. What are you feeling? What are you feeling internally?
A little scared.
Anger. Wait, you can't be angry at God. We read the Psalms. We read the prophets. Doubt. Doubt. Doubt of what? What are you doubting?
Everything.
Would I hear what you mean? Doubting God. Doubting yourself. Yeah. Doubting yourself, that, well, I just didn't get it right, apparently. And maybe I don't get a lot of things right. In fact, when it comes to God, I never get it right. I'm not worthy. I'm to lead these people, but what have I got? And then doubting God. Doubting God. In fact, maybe not only doubting that you got the message wrong, but doubting if there was ever a message at all. In fact, there is no God. I'm alone here. I've got nothing. I can't go anywhere. I'm stuck. And where is God? Fifth morning, nothing. Fifth afternoon, nothing. Fifth night, nothing. What are you feeling?
I'm not all
despair.
Maybe Baal was right. You can go there. Any others?
Abandoned.
Abandoned. Yes. Yes. Lovely. And thank you for that, young man. I want my mommy. Abandoned. Lonely. I was just hearing on the radio this morning, NPR, Brene Brown, talking about that, and how that loss of connection, that's almost worse than death. And by the way, you start thinking, when you're feeling abandoned, you start thinking about your life and all the missed opportunities in your life, all the bad things that have happened to you, and you start thinking about your own sin. You start thinking about, is this punishment? And maybe if you're Moses, you start thinking about a little murder that happened some years before when he had caught an Egyptian mistreating a Hebrew person. What did he do to that Egyptian? He killed him. And then he ran away. He was never caught. He was never found. He never paid for that. In fact, Lord, why would you call a murderer to lead your people when he'd never get through the commission on ministry in the Diocese of Minnesota? Mm-hmm. You might get through in Maryland with that.
No.
Or the background check. In fact, if you look at the list of men and women whom God called and Jesus called to be his disciples, you'd be surprised. And so if you're Moses on that mountain, oh Lord, I know what this is about. This is about that. You're punishing me. And in fact, you brought me on this mountain to kill me. I'm not getting off this mountain, am I? And to tell the truth, oh Lord, if there is a God, I'm not quite sure that wouldn't be a bad idea. I'm tired. I'm sick of this. I'm ready to go. The sixth day, nothing. The sixth night, nothing. What are you going to do?
I'm out of here.
You're out of here. In so many ways. The seventh morning, the cloud lifts. The seventh day. Something about the seventh day, isn't it, in the scriptures? Days of resurrection, of new life. The cloud lifts. There is a classic of spirituality from from the 14th century in England called The Cloud of Unknowing. And in The Cloud of Unknowing, the author, probably a religious nun, monk, they talk about the experience of God being not sweetness and light and all is revealed and made plain, but the experience of God as if you were in a cloud of mystery, of unknowing, of darkness, where you can't do anything. You don't know what to do. The only thing you can do is let go. To let go. And in that book, that manual, it talked about the life of prayer, where so much of deep prayer is not telling God what you think, but it's being still, being silent, letting go of your thoughts, letting go of your plans, letting go of your agenda. Because basically, your thoughts, your plans about your life, your agenda hasn't landed you anywhere except in a cloud. Stripped away. And that whole time that Moses experienced nothing happening, actually a lot was happening spiritually. Because until he came to that point where he was stripped of all of his expectations, he would be no more prepared to receive the law and the commandments than any other person on the street. Before he could receive the tablets of stone, God had to write on the tablets of his heart to rewrite the script. To rewrite it. When Jesus went on the Mount of Transfiguration, there in all the gospel accounts, a cloud came on that mountain. And in the Gospel of Mark, there appearing with him are two other figures who, Moses and the other Elijah. If you recall one instance in Elijah's life where he wanted to die, Elijah was on the run. He was a prophet and the sovereign wanted him killed. He was running for his life. And he just said, I've had it, God. I've had it. And the Lord said, come with me, Elijah. Go to that mountain and wait for me there. And you know that story. When he got there, there was an earthquake. The ground shook. God is in that earthquake, right? No, God was not in the earthquake. And a fire came. Surely God would come as a pillar of fire as he led the children of Israel out of Egypt by a pillar of fire. But the scripture says, 1 Kings 19, God was not in the fire. And then a mighty wind came, the rushing wind. Surely God would come in that dramatic way in the rush of the wind, the Hebrew word, the ruach, the same ruach that led that was there at creation. But God was not in the wind. Earth, wind, and fire. Yo, yo. Come on, y'all listen to R&B, right? There's a group that has a very biblical. Right. But God came through what? Shout it out. Still small voice. In the King James, the New Revised Standard Version has it. Then came the sound of sheer silence. That's where God was. When Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, and there with him was Moses and Elijah, I would have loved to have been on that conversation. I imagine Moses and Elijah saying, we know about this, Jesus. We've been through this. We've had our cloud. This is yours. What about your cloud? On this last Sunday before Lent, it's a time for us to be thinking about a Lenten practice. If you do not have a contemplative practice, a way of going deeper into prayer beyond words, beyond your agenda, I invite you to go deeper this Lent. And perhaps if you don't have any silence in your life, at some point in the day, even if it's just 5 minutes, many suggest at least 20, but at even five in our society, I frankly think if we can get every Episcopalian to just spend even 5 minutes in silence before God, our church is transformed. Transformed. And in that silence, your only prayer is, Lord, be present in my life and work in me. And then just be silent. And then with the Lord's Prayer. Before we can go forward with our lives with any integrity, we have to enter the cloud. May you have a holy Lent, and may you have a holy cloud. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.